Well, if I could have the kids come up and help me. Now, they're smiling so big because they think they're going to get to eat this. Wow, we've got quite a few here. All right. If you want, you can sit down on the steps. I'm going to read a scripture before we get you involved here. I want you to listen to it. This is a scripture that we started with back in March in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. And in that chapter, we see the love of God. We see the word love mentioned 8 times. And we see abiding in Jesus or abiding in his love, abiding in his word. We see that 10 or 11 times. And then we see producing fruit, being fruitful. We see that 8 times. And so, I read this story in Sunday school, back when I was in Sunday school. And I want to read it, and I want to just comment on a couple of things that just in our English are a little bit ambiguous. That means not clear, or it could maybe give you to the wrong understanding of it. And we want the right understanding. That's why we study God's word. So in John 15, verse 1, Jesus is speaking here. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now, I want you to see that takes away there. In the Greek phrase is translated, he takes up to himself. So he's not saying he takes away from him, he takes up to himself. When things aren't fruitful, he brings things up to him so that they will be fruitful. God's not trying to get people either out of his kingdom or out of his presence. He's trying to always bring us to him. And so that's very important here, because it says in the New King James, it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. It means he lifts up those that aren't producing fruit. He draws them to him so that they will be fruit producers. Because we're going to see something important here. He says, you're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Actually, before that, he says, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it might bear more fruit. Now, we've got a landscaper and what do you call your business? A nursery. See, I think of kids when I think of a nursery. She has a nursery with trees and fruits and vegetables and flowers. And most of you know that. They prune things to make them more fruitful. Sometimes I've watched people do things. It's like, you're cutting everything off. And it's like, no, we're taking this out so this can flourish, because this is the more healthy part. And so anyway, he says in verse 4, abide in me. This is Jesus speaking, and I in you. Now, that word abide, we don't talk that way nowadays. What that means is live in me. We live in him. When you get born again, he comes inside of us. And so we're living close to him, aren't we? So that's what he's talking about. Live in me. When do we live? Anybody? When do we live? All the time. We're always living, right? And so he says in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Now, he's just giving an illustration here. Picture an apple tree. You got the big tree, and you got the branch going out. You got the vine. The trunk is the big vine. The branch that comes out is us. That's representative of us. And then nice, delicious Macintosh apples come off there. Yeah, I knew you'd get hungry. I don't know if I have a Mac here or not. We'll look at it closer in a minute. So he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who lives in me bears much fruit. So here's one of the keys to understanding this part of Scripture. When we live close to Jesus, we're going to be fruit producers. And we're going to show you what that means. Because as I said, I learned this in Sunday school. I learned about a portion of what it means. but I found out that it means a lot more. How many know that God reveals things more to us the more we stay at it with his word? And so we learn more. So he says, for without me, Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. So he's telling us here that we need him to do things his way. We can't do things on our own way. That would be, you know, our works. And our works are as filthy rags, as the Bible says. We want to be doing things based on him living in us and him being behind us to allow us to do what he wants us to do. He goes on in verse 6, and this is the other verse I want you to understand. If anyone does not abide in me or does not live in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they're burned. That could give you the understanding that you're worthless. I believe he's really not talking about a born again person. But for if you want to take the approach that, well, if anybody doesn't abide and he's cast out, I want you to see in 1 Corinthians, if you could put that up, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. God's not trying to get rid of us. Aren't you glad? Verse 12 of chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and straw, two groups of three very different things, silver, gold, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw. Each one's work will become clear. Jesus, I believe in John 15, is talking about the works that we would do. In the day will declare it because the works that we do will be revealed by fire. This is talking about when we get to heaven. They'll be revealed by fire, and fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. We are going to go before the judgment seat of Christ, and he's going to judge us for the works we did, not for our sin. Our sin's been paid for. You're not going to be cast out of heaven. But there's going to be rewards given, and rewards will be taken away based on the fruit we either produce or don't produce here while we're here now. That's why this is so important, how we live. That's why holiness, we're going to get to talk about holiness in a minute. But it says, if anyone's work which he's built on it endures, he'll receive a reward. If his work is burned, he'll suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. That's proof right there that God's not going to take your salvation away from you just because you didn't do a lot of things that he asked you to do. He wants you to do things. He wants to give you assignments. Every one of you has a perfect plan that God has orchestrated and fitly put it together from the beginning before we were even born. He had a plan for our lives. I didn't know mine was to be called to teach and preach the word. I didn't find out until I was 30-some years old. I encourage you, ask God now, what am I on this planet for? Because that's what I asked him. So why am I here? I felt like I was lost, so to speak. I was born again, but I didn't feel like I had a purpose. And Michael W. Smith sang a song. He had just written it, My Place in This World. And that just touched me. It just caused me to ask the question, what's my place? And now you know the rest of the story. So anyway, a couple of things about producing fruit, and then we're going to get to the fun part. The branch cannot bear fruit, or you cannot bear fruit. We're the branches, remember? We're the branches. In verse 4 and 5, it says we can't do it on our own. Number two, when we live in close union with Jesus, we will bear fruit. We will bear fruit when we're in close union with him. Without him, number three, we can do nothing. Number four, asking and receiving in verse 7 says that it's directly proportional to our living close to him. He said, if my words are in you and your words abide, if you abide in his words, that means his Bible. If you live according to the Bible, he says, when you do that his way, you can ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. But it's going to be based on the word of God. Okay? Verse 6. Let's go to verse 8 because this is important in John 15. Then I'm going to have you guys get up. I don't want you nodding off. But I was giving you a break to sit there. In verse 7, I just quoted it. If you abide in me, if you live in me and my words live in you, you'll ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Verse 8, by this, by what? By me living in Christ, living in Jesus, and by his words living in me, my Father is glorified. That's how you bring glory to God. It's not just us speaking, God, I give you glory. God, I give you glory. God, I give you glory. He wants to see the fruit. And we have to stay connected to Jesus if we want the fruit to be produced. See how simple this really is? And it's been months that we talked about the love of God, and that has to be first. And then we talked about abiding in him, and now we can produce fruit. And I want you to see, I want everybody to see what this fruit is. So what is the fruit that Jesus was speaking of? Because I had a narrow understanding of it for many, many, many years. A narrow understanding of it. And I want you to see that, I need some help. You get up here. In love. I love you. Okay. That's a kiwi. You like kiwis? Is that a kiwi? No, I'm sorry. That's a lime. I'm learning the fruit stuff, okay? I got the word down, but the fruits thing is still... Okay, you can hold on to that. If you come around front and let people see that. Because that says on it, new Christians. And we see in God's word, we see in God's word in Romans, if you could put Romans chapter 1 up. And verse 13, this is Paul speaking. He says, now I don't want you to be unaware, brothers, that I often planned to come to you, but I was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also. And the Amplified says, I might have some fruit or some results from my labors. Now, Paul was going out and preaching about Jesus, and he was getting people to come into God's kingdom. And that's sharing the salvation message and getting people to be born again. And that's very, very, very important. That's the prime importance, but God doesn't stop there. So the kiwi here, the lime, I mean, new Christians is part of producing fruit. When we get somebody to come into the kingdom, to get born again, we're producing fruit. But it doesn't stop there. When God created us, he started with Adam, didn't he? He didn't give Adam the assignment to go and make converts, because he made Adam perfect. But he did give Adam the assignment to be fruitful, didn't he? So there's something else in that word fruitful, even here in John 15, other than just talking to people about Jesus. Okay? This is important. This is number one. But look at all of this. We got a long way to go here. So who's going to help me next? Oh, no. You can... Here, what we're going to do, just hold on one more second, and then I'm going to have you do something, okay? And then we're going to get everybody else involved, okay? All right. So getting somebody to come into the kingdom, it's not incorrect as far as the fruit. It's very correct, but it's incomplete to stop at our understanding of being fruitful. It's incomplete. That means there's more to it, because I got a lot of kids here that are going to help me teach more to it. All right, number two, so what I want you to do, I want you to come over here. Okay, now, Jesus said he wants you to be fruitful. So here we're talking about sharing salvation with somebody else, right? Okay, so I want you to do that. I want you to sow that message of salvation. You can start with this lady right over here, okay? All right, so she's going to be sharing the salvation message, okay? So share it with Kathy, and then tell her what I told you to do. What did I tell you to do? I told you to share it with Kathy. Tell her to share it with somebody else. Now she's got to do that, okay? All right, stay with me. All right, number two, holiness is a fruit. In Romans 6, we see that the word... In Romans 6:22, But now having been set free from sin, now what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to go up back, and when it gets up there, you're going to have to get it, and you're going to start it again. Okay? So you're going to be busy. You can't come back, sit down. Come on. Verse 22, but now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness. A fruit to holiness. So holiness is a fruit. When we are, where's holiness? Holiness, gentleness. Holiness, right here, it's a peach. I do know that. You want to help me? Okay, so holiness is a fruit. And holiness is when we live according to the word of God. Holiness is the way we live, and we're living close to Jesus, okay? And so that got damaged because I dropped it, so don't get the juice all over you because it's a very juicy one. But anyway, holiness. Now, you're going to go right over here. No, actually, you're going to go right over here, and you're going to start holiness over here. See, you're going to share your life of holiness with Nancy here, and then she's going to do the same thing. Okay, number three, we come to Galatians, if you could put Galatians 5 up there. Now, I've been in your room before, and up on the wall, there is something called the fruit of the Spirit. You all remember seeing that? And I'm sure you were taught about that. I remember back a ways when you were going over that. And that's found in Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 22 and 23. And so let's start with the fruit of the Spirit, because that's very much the fruit that Jesus was talking about. When we get born again, the fruit of the Spirit comes inside of us, because that's where the Spirit goes. And so those aren't just, you know, fruits that we carve up and make a nice fruit salad. Those are actually the attributes of God himself. Did you know that? Love, joy, peace, and we're going to look at them all. Those are actually God's attributes or his character. Okay? Character is how it is demonstrated by how somebody lives. And when somebody loves, now, could I have somebody strong? You nice and strong? All right, come up here. You can help me in a minute. Love is the first fruit, and I purposely made it the biggest one, because really fruit, the love, is what all the others hang off from. If you don't have this, nothing else is going to work in your life. You can't be kind if you don't have love. You can't be gentle if you don't have love. So all these other attributes come out of love, because God is love. He doesn't have love. He is love. And so this weighs about 15 pounds. Can you handle that? All right. So once you give it over here to Mr. Scott, and then Scott, you might have to help because Connie's behind you. Now, where's the other fruits at? They still being sown? Okay. Did you get this one? I want everybody to see every fruit come through you, okay? So, right here to Miss Deb. Give it to her. All right, love, joy. You up next? No, you did the... Okay, you got to go up back because you got to receive that big thing. Okay, you get back there. Mr. Ken will help out, I'm sure. All right, so love. What's the next one? If we did it in order. Joy. Now, let me back up. On that one, Suzanne, what is it? What scripture is on love? 1 Corinthians 13. So that's where we can go to find out about the love of God. Okay? I want everybody to notice that. There's a scripture on every one of these pieces of fruit. Joy, I put down Nehemiah 8 and 10. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And so this morning, I heard Connie during worship time, I heard her say, stir it up. You got to stir yourself up. That's exactly what you need to do with joy. Somebody else isn't responsible for it. You are. So here, whoa, 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 catch. Come on, you got to be awake. Go. You're giving away joy. You're sowing joy. See, you got to be joyful. Get a big smile. Big smile. All right. Now, what's the next one? Love, joy, peace. You got it, Haley. Hop up here. Peace. Oh, peace is a lemon. Well, hey, somebody likes lemons, right? You always ask for it in your water at the restaurant. Okay, so Philippians 4. Let's just turn there quickly. We'll get through these. If you could put Philippians 4 up, and I'll just look up here instead of going to my Bible. So peace, Philippians 4, 4 through 7. You just start. Give it to Deb here, Grammy. and just start it over. Now you're going to have to go up back and you're going to have to intercept it wherever it shows up. Everybody notice what you're getting, because these are the fruit or the characters or the attributes of God that you need to be living out of your life every single day. Every single day. That's why I want everybody to touch every one of these to remind you that this is how I'm supposed to live. And when love comes, I'm supposed to love. When joy comes, I'm supposed to be joyful. I'm supposed to have the joy of the Lord in my life so that it, what does it do? It affects. It affects. Now, what's going to happen here in a minute when we get all this fruit out here? We're going to be busy, aren't we? But we're going to be busy for the Lord. We're going to be busy demonstrating and showing the world the love of God. All right, so what's after love, joy, peace? Patience. Thank you. Patience is a banana. Hebrews 6:12. If you want to put Hebrews 6:12, you want to take a banana? Okay. You're handing out patience. Now, let me just say something about patience, because a lot of people don't like patience, do they? Patience is a powerful force, and it works to keep you in faith. Faith and patience. Patience is a spiritual, powerful force that God has, and he has that specifically for us to hold us in our faith. It's not that we just hold in a holding pattern like an airplane coming in and they don't give you clearance and you have to just keep circling. No, patience is a powerful spiritual force. How are we doing with the lime? Did everybody get the lime, or just send it around again? Okay, did everybody get patience? No, you haven't gone yet. You go with patience. Okay. What do you got? Joy. Did you get over here with joy? Joy, joy, joy. Everybody get joy? Do it again. All right. Love, joy. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness. We got to have goodness. It's a pair. That's kindness. Goodness. That's a mango. Thank you. Goodness. Hop up. Goodness. All right. Goodness. What about Bob? No, we're not talking about movies now. You can do that later. Now, what about Bob? Send goodness out. And then you have to go find it where it comes and bring it over to this side and bring it over to this side. Goodness. Hey, you should have had joy. You got the joy going on. All right. What's after? What was that one? Mango. Goodness. Kindness. Kindness will go next. Oh, it's a pear. Oh, kindness. Go be kind. Okay. Kindness. How about faithfulness? Ah, oh, faithfulness. This is a grapefruit. Makes you pucker. Faithfulness. I have on here. Look at the scriptures that are on there. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. And then also in John chapter 15, we saw that being faithful was abiding in him and allowing his word to abide in us. That's being faithful to the word of God. You go and get that faithfulness out there. All right. Now, with goodness, this is not included in one of the fruit of the Spirit, but fruits of righteousness, they tie in closely with goodness. Because the fruits of righteousness, Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his right way of doing things and being. So when we do the right things, we're really doing good things. And so that's why I included it. So if you take the fruits of righteousness and get those out there. Now, we've got two more. Lemon, what do you got? Peace? They need some more peace. Just get back out there. All right. Now we've got gentleness. Scott, you're going to have to help me. I ran out of kids. Gentleness. Yeah. Yeah, they're up back ready to receive it. Gentleness. That is an attribute of God. He's so gentle and so loving, so caring. His mercy endures forever. Amen. And then lastly, Drew, self-control. There you go, buddy. Self-control. You control yourself with that. Don't go beaning somebody in the head. So here we see what God wants reflected in our lives every single day, don't we? We see a combination of all of these attributes in us every single day. We need to draw those out. Remember, we talked about the joy. You got to stir the joy up. You got everybody's smiling. See, it's working. If we could do this out in the world, the world would say, what is going on? We want what you got. Said, just come to church. We're doing fruit salad. Ken, bring your knife next time. We'll have you slice it up. Okay. So we got through, but there's more to fruitfulness than even the fruit of the Spirit. There is more. I was praying one night, and it came to me about 3 o'clock in the morning, about, I don't know, a month or two ago. And the question came up inside of me, well, what was the fruit that Jesus produced? What was the fruit that Jesus produced? He produced all of them, but then some of the things that don't come, or they're included, but they're more specific. How about healing? Would healing be producing fruit? Absolutely, 100% it would be producing fruit. It's producing the love of God. It's producing and demonstrating the love of God. So when we get involved in seeing people healed and we lay hands on people, we are producing fruit. And the Bible says when we produce fruit, it glorifies our Father. And then in Mark 16, in the commission that we were given, these signs shall follow them that believe. You might not have ever thought of this. I never really ever thought of this. But when we command demons to leave, we're really producing fruit. We're producing the light of the kingdom coming in, moving darkness out of the way, and we are producing fruit that glorifies God. And there's others, but for time's sake, I'm not going to get into, and you can find them in the Word. Anytime you see a good work, you see the goodness of God, that's something that's being fruitful. Now go back for a moment with me before we close. And when God gave Adam the assignment, he gave him dominion, but he said, be fruitful. Adam had the fruit of the Spirit, all of these fruit inside of him. He said, go, you use the vast resources that's in the world to serve man, to serve God, and bring glory to his name. That was a dominion assignment that was given to Adam. He didn't have the one to talk to somebody to get them born again, because there was no need of it at that point. Amen? But now we have that. Now that's one of the things we're supposed to go and tell people. We tell them about the goodness of God. All right, lastly, God's Word. God's Word produces fruit. God's Word has in it the power in itself to do what it says it'll do. And so here, David, if you want to just send that one around, God's Word. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word won't. Thank you, Lord. When Satan came and tempted Jesus, Luke chapter 4, he said, in verse 4, Satan had just come to Jesus and said, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to be bread. See, Jesus was hungry. He was out there. He hadn't eaten in a long time. He was at a weak point. That's when the enemy comes to us at our weak points. And he said, if you are the Son of God, he wasn't even sure. But he said, if you are, command this stone to be turned into bread, and you could have a nice slice of bread and make some butter. No, he didn't say that. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And so the Word of God is all inclusive of producing the fruit that we need to be abiding in, living in. That's where we live, right? Hey, you got them all back. Did you take a bite of that? There's clearly a bite taken out of that. Somebody took a bite. Self-control. Why is there a bite taken out of that, Ricky? You didn't have any self-control. Ah, you were looking for the banana. Yeah. Anyway. So give the kids a hand because they endured. I believe that they're going to be major fruit producers as they grow up. As children, they're going to produce much fruit. All of these attributes of God are living in each one of you. Every one of you know Jesus as your Savior. So you're born again. So all of these things reside on the inside of you. And God is going to be glorified by how you live your life and how you, careful with the lemon, how you reflect or draw out of these gifts, these powerful forces that he's put inside of you. Amen? Well, why don't you stand with me and we'll close in prayer. Anybody get something out of this? Is it be fruitful. That's right. And multiply. That's right. And the multiplication of it was by taking it and giving 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 it. When you sow the word, when you sow goodness, goodness goes into the future of you and it goes in and it multiplies. How many have heard of the term sow it forward? You know, we've heard of people pay it forward. Okay, well, sow it forward. Same thing.
Yeah, little presents for Africa. We
sow it forward.
Yes.
So. I will not forget, Connie. But these fruit, as we sow them in our life into other people's lives, that will have a major effect. When you do something lovely for somebody that's been hindering you, been cussing you out, been coming against you, when you do an act of kindness to them, that power goes inside of them. That kindness power goes inside of them, and it'll make a huge grown man have tears come up in his eyes. Because the power of this is not just a term fruit. It's powerful because that's who God is. He's a gentle God and a loving God, and he wants us to live this way. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the kids here, and we thank you, Lord, for the lives that they represent, and that as they go from this place today, them and the adults, that we would be mindful to sow the goodness of God. We would live and allow the fruit of the Spirit to manifest and to draw out of our spirits, and so that the world would be coming to us and asking us, what is different about you? What is it that you have? I need that in my life. Father, that's my prayer today. People would ask us this week, why is it you're so happy? Why is it you're not afraid? Why is it you're kind and you used to be some other way? Father, it's because of you. We thank you. Thank you for your manifestation here. By your Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you all for coming. We love you.